Welcome to the Peak Work Performance Summit, where we talk about practical ways we can all become smarter, healthier, and more productive. My name is Ron Friedman, and my guest today is best-selling author Carrie Wilkerson. Carrie is an international speaker, an award-winning podcaster, and a frequent guest on radio and television. She's the author of The Barefoot Executive, the ultimate guide for being your own boss and achieving financial freedom. In the interview you're about to watch, Carrie will tell you why starting a business may be the only reliable path to financial independence. She'll offer tips for getting started without giving up your day job, and she'll teach you how to get over any fear you might have of not being taken seriously. Without further ado, here's my interview with Carrie Wilkerson. Enjoy. Carrie Wilkerson, thanks so much for joining us. In your book, Barefoot Executive, you describe job security as being a myth. And I'm curious, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think my exact words were the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and so many of those things we love to believe in. They're fairy tales. It's a myth and they're fun to believe in and we get a hope from them, but it's just not true. When you have a job, the only person at that company or at that business that has security, however you want to define that, is the owner. Everybody else is optional. And so when you put all your hopes, dreams, aspirations into a job for someone else, I don't want to say it's foolish because it's the way we've been raised and so many people are great employees, but I would say you can't put 100% of your hope there. You just can't. Job security doesn't exist. You just have to look in recent history to see Enron, you know, the collapse of the banking scene, so many things, so many people that we know and love, and everybody can think of a handful of people who had put their life's work into something, had put all their education into something, all their heart and soul into something, and now wake up with this pink slip in their hand. It's tragic, honestly.
And you make the case that the educational system conditions us to be job focused and employee minded, and that sort of thinking can actually hold us back. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, first of all, let me say I'm not anti-school. I'm a certified teacher. I used to teach in the public school system. My kids attend a school, and they've done well. We're excellers and we love education and we believe you should keep learning. However, the mentality of people that are teaching schools are that we get our education, we make good grades so that we can get a scholarship or get accepted into the school of our choice so that we can then choose our field and then get a great job. Nobody ever says, so then you can start a great business or so that you can be independent. It's so that you can get a good job. And we're lulled into that. We're taught that. It's how we're conditioned. It's how our society works. And that system is a broken system. It was created back in the day. It was created back in the day to take kids out of the fields, to take kids out of the mines, to educate them to read and write, and then maybe so they could aspire to something better, which is fine and which is good. But my personal belief is unless you're doing something like medical or law or finance where it requires a certification or a licensing or something, school for the long term is not necessarily your best path to freedom, financially or otherwise. And I think we've seen the millennials are really questioning that. They're taking that to task, maybe to an extreme level, but we have to start teaching our kids and teaching our peers even that there can be a different way and it's okay. And starting your own business doesn't make you rogue. Questioning the employment system doesn't make you a rebel. It just means you're thinking a little bit out of the educational box, the conditioning box.
So what do you recommend people do if they want to dip their toe into starting a side business? Where do they start?
You know, I love the, you know, we call it a trend. The fact is, those of us that are entrepreneurial minded have seen it for 20, 30 years. But I love the trend of a side hustle or a part-time gig. It's almost a little privileged mindset because there are people that we know and love who work two and three jobs out of necessity. They wouldn't call that their side hustle. They would call that rent. You know, they would call that groceries. But I love the trend of those of us that are professionals or those of us that maybe are doing what we thought we would always do, or those of us that even love our jobs, start something on the side. It may be something where you can test your hobby out for cash. Maybe you're teaching golf instead of just playing golf. Maybe you're, you know, let's talk about Mrs. Fields cookies. Maybe you're just selling these great cookies you get compliments on all the time. Maybe you're keeping some kids on the weekend in order to do a childcare swap later. I think you look at your skills that you have or the interests that you have, and you do a little bit here and there. I am not an advocate of, I'm just going to go give my notice to my boss and I'm going to walk out and I'm going to start something tomorrow and my livelihood depends on it. That's scary, y'all. Don't do that. In this climate, you just can't do it. It's not responsible. Dip your toe in with something part-time. There's a neat site called Vocation Vacations. And it's a neat concept of, hey, if you're going to take the time off, go explore something different or something new or something that excites you that might be a career path. I am fascinated by that. I love the idea of, you know, doing culinary school in France on your vacation or, you know, going to intern for somebody, you know, taking a sabbatical if you can, if your company lends to that. But I say dip your toe in, see what can be profitable. Your passion is not always going to be monetizable. I'm not that girl that says, find your passion and the money will follow. I don't necessarily believe that. So I will say for a side hustle, dip your toe in, see what's working for other people, see what excites you, see what's out there, see what's manageable with what you're already doing, and just take a risk. Why not? It's not like your mortgage depends on it, right? So your mortgage is covered, your bills are covered. Just kind of wade in a little bit and see what you can do.
Now, can you give us some examples of jobs or rather businesses that a person can start with very little capital on their own?
Yeah. So service businesses are number one. I have a friend that he and his wife in one summer and one fall, they loaded up their lawn equipment. They bought a used extra lawnmower at a garage sale. They paid off $60,000 in debt. Mowing lawns, edging lawns, being that service, very little capital, lots of blood, sweat, and tears, and they just made it happen. Did they love doing lawns? Nope. They both had full-time jobs. They had two little kids that sometimes were playing on the lawn with them while they were working, but very little capital required. Any kind of a service business where you take your skill set. One of my brothers, I have three, one of my brothers is a financial analyst and specializes in a certain software. And on the weekend, he is constantly consulting for other companies that don't want to bring somebody in full-time, but want his expertise. And so he makes more on the weekends than he makes at his full-time job when you add it up. So he is doing that and there's no capital outlay. You can do childcare. You can do cooking for people. You can keep kids. You can do graphic design if you have a bent towards that. You can do coding if you know some of those things. You can do social media. So many things. When people say, I don't have the money to start a business, maybe you don't have the money to do one of these, you know, Silicon Valley type startups. I get that. But there are so many things you can do just with what you know and what you already have and what you can access.
What are some common mistakes you see people making when they're starting a side business?
Spending too much money on a new computer, new software, new this, new that. So that would be number one. Number two would be thinking they have to be certified for something else. So I want to get into search engine optimization. So I'm going to go take this course on how to do this. Stop with all that mess. Start with what you know and then monetize that. And then learn as you earn, you know, stop delaying it with other expenses and other needs to do. If you want to be a coach, you coach from your experience. You don't have to be a certified coach. I know that's controversial. That will invite some comments, I'm sure. But you don't have to do that. So number one is spending too much. Number two is waiting until you're qualified enough. Number three would be chasing after something just because somebody else is doing it. So I could look at, let's talk about a hot personality right now, Donald Trump. I could look at Donald Trump, and I think I use him in my book even before he was hip to talk about. If we were really money motivated and we were really like uber wealthy motivated, we would say, Donald Trump has got that right. Let me do what Donald Trump does. Well, we're not qualified to do that. We don't have the experience to do that. We don't have the contacts to do that. And he didn't start doing that. So don't chase what somebody else is doing just because they're doing it. Number four would be chasing something just because it's trendy. So somebody that doesn't like social media then says, well, being a social media manager is super hot right now. I'm going to go figure all that out and do that. Don't do that. You won't enjoy it. You won't like it. It won't be natural to you. It won't be organic. That'll just be a mess. Chasing something just because somebody else tells you to, because they're doing it. So number one is, you know, picking somebody like Donald Trump and trying to model him. But even if you have a buddy or a friend that's doing really well in something, that's not really how you should choose. Those are some mistakes. The other mistake is, and I believe this quote is Anthony Robbins. He says, people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and grossly underestimate what they can do in five. So a huge mistake people make is not having the patience, saying, I need to make six figures in 6 weeks. I should be able to create this software and sell this company for $15 million because I saw that guy do it. So you have to have a measure of patience. Desperation is good in your plan, but desperation for survival can sometimes sink you. So you have to have some patience in there too.
So another suggestion you have is to find a mastermind group. So what is a mastermind group and how do you go about finding the one that's right for you?
Yeah, so mastermind can be called different things. It can be called a networking group. It can be called peer accountability. It can, you know, so many names it falls under. Mastermind, we get that term from Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich, where the power of the minds collaborating is bigger than the individual mind. Here's what I will tell you. As someone who has worked at home for almost 17 years now, even before it was hip, even before it was cool, it can be very isolating. It can be very lonely and it can be full of second guessing. Even if you are a go-getter like me, even if you're very decisive like me, you can still second guess yourself, berate yourself, all those things. A mastermind is a group of like-minded people. Let me preface it there. Like-minded people working on similar goals and aspirations. They don't have to be in your same business model, but they have to be goal-minded and entrepreneurial-minded, that you can bounce things off of each other. Not that can make decisions for you, but so you can challenge each other, be accountable to each other. These groups range from free to very high paid. As you know, you're in the space. You know, I've been part of groups that were over 20 grand a year, and I've been part of groups where I just reached out to four or five people and said, hey, let's do coffee and discussion once a month. But there are also online virtual groups. So it's important to be around business-minded people because I promise you, if we're looking at an educational system that grooms us a certain way, and then all of a sudden you divert, you're the red fish instead of the blue fish. You'll get questioned, you'll get ridiculed, you'll get berated in certain ways, even subtle ways, and you need that group of people, similar to how, you know, believers in different faiths need the church. The church body helps support them in those things, women's groups for certain things, support groups after you lose someone you love. This is like a business support group. So don't get hung up on the term mastermind. You just need some like-minded people that are growing in the same direction as you and that get it, that you want something different for your life.
And another suggestion you have is to find a coach. So what type of coach are you looking for and how do you know if you found the right one?
Yeah, and let me back up a little because I wrote the book several years ago and my thinking on this has changed a little bit. I would rather say, let's start with a mentor first, mentor slash coach, and we can almost use those interchangeably. So, And the first thing a lot of people say is, oh, I can't afford a coach or oh, I can't afford a mentor. I pick one person a year to very intentionally follow, whether I invest with them or not. Sometimes I just follow their blog, buy their book, watch their interviews, and I pick that person strategically for one reason. I've had some years where that was really positive reasons. And I've had some years where it turned into things not to do. and I did, I followed this person and went, okay, that's a road I don't want to travel. And they're having success in spite of some of these things. But starting from the time when I was in seventh grade, our teacher was in Zig Ziglar's Sunday school class at First Baptist Dallas. And Zig Ziglar wrote this curriculum for kids, self-esteem and goal setting. And he was piloting it through several classes so that then he could get the data to go present it to school districts for widespread adoption, right? I happened to be in one of the classes. At seventh grade, I was exposed to Zig Ziglar's goal setting and motivational training. And I will tell you, I consider him my first mentor. I followed his books for years. I had his tapes. Those of you that don't know what that is, you can Google that. I had cassette tapes. I read his books every time a new one came out. I eventually mentored with him several years ago in person, had the honor of being on his Ziglar cast, spoke with him on stage, those kind of things. But even when I was in seventh grade, I found a mentor, somebody to follow, somebody to model after. So don't use income as an excuse. Follow somebody's blog, not everybody's blog. Choose specifically, choose carefully, and not everybody at the same time. Get off all those lists that you're on. Pay attention to one voice in your head for a focused period of time. If you love the way somebody releases content, or if you love what somebody really has to say, or if you love the way somebody lives their life, sometimes it's not about the business lesson you can learn, but about the life lessons you can learn from them with balance and priorities. Pick somebody to mentor. If you want to hire a coach, perfect, but don't hire them out of desperation. Don't expect them to be Miracle Max from The Princess Bride to bring you back to life. Only you can do that. And don't expect them to rescue you. When you start blaming coaches, when you start blaming mentors, when you start finding all those excuses, then really the problem is not them, it's you. So find a mentor to model first. And then when you really need a coach to help you with specific scaling or instruction or a particular method you've seen them use, then you can do that. But be wise with that.
Let's say I do want a coach and I have a little bit of savings. I want to put it into finding the right person. Am I starting with the Google search? How do I go about finding the right coach?
You know, I would say if you're part of a group of like-minded people, one or two of them will have a coach. One or two of them will be working with somebody. Start looking there. Start looking, look at YouTube. Watch people's videos. Subscribe to a couple of podcasts and see who really resonates with you. My criteria may be different than other people's criteria in choosing. I don't choose based on people's income or the parties they throw on their yacht or their exclusive getaways, you know, any of that status stuff. That doesn't appeal to me. I like to look, okay, who has done business with kids? Who has similar values to me? Now, I'm not saying I've never coached with anybody that diverged widely with me, but they had a process that I admired or a path that I admired and that I respected. Who seems consistent? Look for positive and negative reviews. Look for happy people that they're working with. And if that person says to you, and ask them questions on Facebook, hey, how long have you been with so-and-so? And what is the biggest takeaway? If that person says to you, oh, I've coached with so-and-so, so-and-so, them, that, this person, that person, and this person really is the best of all those, that's a big red flag. That means they're a coach jumper. And I would take their opinion with a grain of salt, but wade in slowly. Then when you're looking at that person, be on their podcast, read their blog posts, read their book if they have one, attend their live event if they have one. You know, wade in. Don't necessarily say, so-and-so said they were great. So-and-so is making seven figures. I'm going to hire this person. They'll do the same for me. You have to do your due diligence. It shocks me how people will spend more time looking for a hotel for their vacation or investigating a resort they're going to or studying the car they're going to drive, then they do the person they're going to put their business in the hands of. Do your research, ask some questions. And if that person's office can't answer questions for you or supply testimonials for you or those kind of things, then that's not a coach that you want to work with.
So one way of finding the right coach, if I'm applying your suggestions correctly, and you can tell me if I am, is to listen to some podcasts of people in the space you're trying to get into. And then when you have someone who resonates with you, contact them and see if they'll coach you. Is that right?
Yeah, you can dig a little deeper. You can read their book, look at their offerings, be on a couple of their webinars. They'll make an offer. If they're actively coaching, they're going to make it available somewhere. Go through the process, see how it really resonates with you. Don't make a sudden decision, you know, before you know somebody. Don't propose to them before you've been on a few dates. If they have incoming strategy sessions, that's great, but you guys have to know there's an offer at the end of that strategy session. So you almost have to be certain before you get to that step. Email their office what kind of programs do you offer? Do you have a page of testimonials from past clients? Do you work with anybody in my space? I'd like to connect with them. If they're hesitant about testimonials or hesitant to connect you with past clients, that's a huge red flag.
One concern that people might have about starting a side business is feeling like they don't have the expertise to be taken seriously. What would you say to people who have that fear?
Well, you've read my book, so you know that what I'm going to say right now is everybody is a fifth grader to somebody. You know, every fourth grader has the fifth grader they look up to. My kids are a great example of this. They are currently 8, 11, 18, and 20. And at every stage, the little, you know, the 8-year-old can relate more to the 11 than she can to the 18. You know, she loves the 18. She looks up to the 18. But if she really wants somebody to show her how to tie her shoes or do something closely related to 8-year-old stuff, she goes to the 11-year-old first because she's closer in expertise there. You are always going to have a little more expertise in something than somebody else. Are you the expert in your field yet? Not necessarily, but you're an expert to somebody. So if you really, let's talk about dog training. So if you're really, you've trained several dogs and other people have asked you dog training questions, you're an expert to people like me who have never, who will never, who aren't going to study it. You are a guru to me. I don't care about the dog whisperer guy. He has a TV show. He's unrelatable to me. But you are reachable, relatable, and have that trustworthiness. I can't really trust him. He's on TV. I don't know what all's edited. I don't know, you know, what's real and what's production. Those dogs may be trained before you get them. They may be training them to act poorly so that then they can make over. I don't know. So I will say you don't have to work with the best in the industry. You have to work with somebody who's your fifth grader to your fourth grader. You have to be the fourth grader saying, okay, who's here? Similarly, you have to know that when you send out emails, somebody that responds to you and says, wow, I know way more about you than this. Oh, awesome. I'd love to see your material. Thanks for that feedback. However, there are people that are beginners that are going to learn from this. Don't let that threaten you. Don't let it stop you from doing what you do. You know, as a woman who has given birth and adopted, I will say I'm way more experienced at that than the people who have not. I can absolutely give advice. Would I consider myself a parenting expert? Nope. Would I consider myself a childbirth expert? No. Would I consider myself an adoption expert? Maybe. Maybe. But I am qualified to give advice. I'm qualified to mentor somebody through the process, and I'm qualified to work with them. I'm even qualified to write a book, not as the foremost expert, but you got to get over yourselves, guys. You got to quit second guessing. You know, Oprah didn't start as Oprah. Dr. Phil didn't start out as Dr. Phil. We all start out as who we are with the skill set that we have that's been given to us for a reason. And there are people that can learn from us in very powerful ways.
And you argue that the way that successful entrepreneurs prioritize their to-do list is very different than the way that employees prioritize their to-do list. And that at worst, even if your side business doesn't work out, you're going to learn valuable skills. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, employees don't have as much choice on what they have to do. They have to come into the office, respond to people that have been emailing them overnight or texting them overnight, or they have to prioritize according to what the company needs, what the boss needs. When you are your own boss, you know, there are a lot of ways to do this wrong. And this is one way that entrepreneurs fail, is by by continuing to have an employee mindset and reacting all day long. But as the boss, you have to come in and say, what do I need worked on first? What furthers the company today? What furthers revenues today? What furthers reputation today? What furthers growth today? And you have to come in and be in charge of yourself. No one else is going to be in charge of you. A lot of times, flashing back to the coach question, people will hire a coach because they want someone to keep them on task. You know what, y'all? Let's just cowboy up for a little bit and let's be a big girl or a big boy and let's manage yourself. Let's quit paying somebody to manage you. That's not a coach's job. That's such a waste of money. Seriously. So manage yourself. Prioritize what's going to get you to your goals quickest. You have to look at what your goals are, what your primary motive is in your business right now, and then you have to work on those things. Stop checking Facebook to see who talked about you. Stop checking the blog to see if there's a new comment. Work on your goal furthering activities first and quit acting like an employee. If you have an employee mindset, you'll be an employee always.
So how do you get out of that mindset? I mean, in fairness to people who hire a coach because they want someone to tell them what to do, I'm not sure that it's a lack of effort that's holding them back. They just literally don't know how to do it.
Yeah. So there's a difference. Let me clarify that last statement. There's a difference in hiring a coach to guide you and hiring a coach to smack you on the hand and make you accountable for your time from the time you wake up and the time you go to bed. You know, I'm not a Star Wars fan. That being said, I'm not anti-Star Wars. I've just never seen any of them ever. So that'll be the big shocking lead of this video, I'm sure. But I will say that Yoda, people are not texting Yoda saying, what do I do next? What do I do next? I can't make myself get up early enough. How do I fit in my workout, right? It's kind of silly. So when you hire a Yoda, when you hire a guide, they're going to give you the overall plan and trust that you can get your shoes on in the morning or not. Like in my case, they're going to trust that you know when to shower. They're going to trust that you know if you can't get it all done to wake up earlier, stay up a little later, or get off the stupid TV and unsubscribe from some of the mess that you're doing. So that being said, I'm not against the Yoda model. I'm against that we don't need the super nanny to move in with us and mind our behavior every minute. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Two shows of which I have not watched, but I've seen the previews. And so I can, there we go.
And Carrie, if people watching this want to connect with you, what's the best way of doing that?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I am very engaged online. So Facebook, you can find me at Barefoot Executive. That's my Facebook page. I'm really active there. My YouTube channel is Barefoot Exec. And also, if you go to my website, there's a free 7-day video series to kind of help redirect you with some of those activities and lots more. So I'd love to see you guys there.
Great. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for your time. You were terrific.
Thanks for having me.